Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Today begins a new week as we have come to Monday, April the 20th. Today begins a new study as we have finished the book of Malachi and are now going to study the book of Obadiah. Obadiah, I suspect that probably is the least known book in all the Bible. It is for certain the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's only 21 verses long. That's the entirety of the book. It is one of the 12 minor prophets, as they are known, named because of their brevity, relatively speaking, set beside the major prophets like Isaiah with 66 chapters and Jeremiah and so forth. And so the shorter prophets are known as the minor prophets, whereas the longer ones are designated the major ones, though at least in one case, there is a breakdown of that particular categorization. The book of Daniel, which is only 12 chapters, is classified among the major prophets, whereas Zechariah, which I think has 14 chapters, I should have checked that before I came to the microphone, but it has more than Daniel, is classified among the minor prophets, but nevertheless, as a general rule, the major prophets are the long ones, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets are the short ones. There are 5 major ones. There are 12 minor ones. Well, there are a lot of other interesting things about the book of Obadiah, and today we're going to primarily concentrate upon an introduction of the book, and that'll take us a couple of broadcasts. And then we will move into the contents of the book, verse by verse, as is our custom, and I think you will find it more interesting and more relevant to American society and American Christianity today than you perhaps ever would have imagined. And so thank you for joining with me on this Monday, April 20. Thank you for remembering that we can only do this as we are supported by some of our radio listeners, and perhaps the Lord would have you become one of those listening supporters. Thank you for your consideration. Well, what else can I tell you about the little book of Obadiah? It is not quoted in the New Testament. Not at all. It is primarily about judgment, which is not a surprise, since most of the Old Testament prophets are a great deal concerning judgment. But like so many of the Old Testament prophets, it's not only about judgment, it's also about mercy. Judgment, if there is a refusal to acknowledge sin and to repent, mercy extended for those who will own their sins, acknowledge their guilt, and repent of their sins. God is a God of great mercy. And that is communicated in the book of Obadiah, even as it was in the book of Malachi, even as it is in virtually all of the Old Testament prophets. And I have found the book of Obadiah to be a short book with a very powerful message. And I think you will agree with me after we have completed our study, maybe even before we get to the end. Well, what can we say about it? We begin with verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. That's verse 1. It starts with what sounds like a pretty familiar opening, the vision of Obadiah. Obadiah, obviously, is the prophet who proclaimed this message. He is the author of this book, writing down the prophecy which God gave to him, or at least portions of it, the portions which are found in this 21-verse book and preserved for us. But who was he? Who was this man, Obadiah, whose book that bears his name is found in the Scriptures and is a part of the Bible, one of the 66 books of the Bible? Well, there's not a great deal known about this man, Obadiah. We do know what his name means. It means a servant of or a worshiper of Jehovah. That's a good name, a servant of Jehovah, a worshiper of Jehovah. That's what we all ought to be, both of those things. Everyone who claims to be a Christian should be a worshiper of Jehovah. Everyone who claims to be a Christian should be a servant of Jehovah. In fact, I suppose I shouldn't have restricted that statement the way I did, because it's actually broader than that. Everyone should be a worshiper of Jehovah, whether they claim to be a Christian or not. Everyone should be a servant of Jehovah, whether they claim to be a Christian or not. But of course, you will have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a Christian in order to become what you ought to be, namely, become a worshiper of Almighty God and become a servant of Almighty God. His name, Obadiah, is actually not a unique name. There are others in Scripture that are so named. It's a fairly common name, actually. And we really don't know how many, because in some cases the name is just mentioned in passing, and we don't know if this particular reference is the same Obadiah as another reference or not. But there are anywhere from a minimum of 12 to a maximum of 20 men mentioned in the Old Testament by the name of Obadiah. One of the most commonly known ones, though you may not think of it unless I prod your memory, but you may remember that in the days of Elijah, Ahab had a court officer by the name of Obadiah, who was a true worshiper of Jehovah in a very strategic position, serving a wicked apostate king who was bitterly opposed to Elijah and bitterly opposed to God. But one of his most trusted officials was a true worshiper of Jehovah. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 17 and following, Obadiah. This name, servant of Jehovah or worshiper of Jehovah, combines worship with service. And that, dear friends, is the right combination. No one is a good servant of Jehovah who is not also a worshiper of Jehovah. No one is a good worshiper of Jehovah who is not also a servant of Jehovah. Would that characterize you? And maybe you're not accustomed to framing this in terms of the name Jehovah, so we can just use the word God or Lord. But the question is, are you a worshiper of Almighty God? I hope you are. We ought to be. That's what God created us for. We are all to be worshipers of the God who created us, the Holy God, the Majestic God, the God of all wisdom and might and power, the God who is glorious beyond all understanding and imagination. He is worthy of worship. He ought to be worshipped. Every knee should be bowed before him, and someday every knee will be bowed before him. You say, well, that's in reference to Jesus Christ, not to God. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is God. You say, well, you were talking about Jehovah. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is Jehovah. I won't take time to prove that from Scripture at the moment, but it's abundantly clear that that is so. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when you find that word Lord, it actually refers to Jehovah. When you find the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, in your Old Testament Bible, that is the word Jehovah, the supreme and most common name for God Almighty that you'll find in Scripture. And so when we say Jesus Christ is Lord, that is what we are actually saying. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now we're saying other things as well. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is supreme ruler. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the mighty one, the mighty king, the almighty one. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Jehovah God. He is I am that I am. When Moses asked God at the burning bush to give him a name by which he could identify this God to Pharaoh, God said, I am that I am. Just tell him that I am hath sent you. I am the eternally existent one, the eternally present one. With God, there is no past or future. Everything is eternally present. Now that's mind-boggling. I don't even want to go any further down that road. But I just want to point out that when Jesus was speaking to the Jews and they challenged him, he had said that Abraham saw his day and was glad, and they questioned that. They said, you're not even 50 years old, and you're talking like you've seen Abraham. And he said, do you remember what he said? He said, before Abraham was, I am. In fact, you probably know that there are a number of times in the Old Testament when Jesus made I am statements. I am the door, I am the way, and so forth. But on this particular occasion, he didn't put anything with the I am. He just said, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. That name that identifies the eternally existent God, the name that identifies Jehovah, the name that identifies the God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, that one, Jesus said, is who I am. I am. And so the question is, are you a worshiper of Jehovah, and are you a servant of Jehovah? Are you serving him? If you're not serving him, then you're not worshiping him as you ought. Are you serving him? Then are you worshiping him? The two go together. If you don't have both aspects in your life, then you're not rightly related to Almighty God. You're not rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ the way you ought to be. But Obadiah is a reminder that those two things are combined together in his life and ought to be in ours as well. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.